Hey, welcome back to the Life Sculptors Podcast. We're here not just to talk about transformation, but we live it out loud. Yep, I'm your host, Dante Poole, and today's episode, this one is personal. Yeah, it's reflective and an invitation to listen, not just to me, but to yourself. Because here's what we know. There's a voice that speaks to all of us. And I don't mean like the external noise. I'm talking, you know, because that external noise, it's people's opinions, it's their expectations, it's their pressure. No, I'm talking about your own inner voice, like that one that narrates your worth. It's the one that makes your decisions. It's the one that either limits or expands your possibilities. I read a quote this week that I want to just sit with today. It says, have you realized that have you realized that most of the unhappiness in your life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, thank you for that, y'all. And this quote is from a book that he wrote in 1965. Come on, y'all. Like, this is not new, what we're talking about. And some of us, we speak words of doubt and discouragement to ourselves so often that we don't even notice it anymore. It's just become normal. And sometimes we hear the echoes of other things that have been said to us long ago, like people's labels or criticisms or expectations. And those words, they start to feel like truth. But they're not. They're not. And today we're going to explore the science of our inner voice and the way we talk to ourselves, our internal dialogue. We're going to measure the weight of our self-talk. And more importantly, we're going to explore how to reframe and rewrite the story that your inner voice is saying and telling you. You can learn to direct the traffic in your head and heart. That's what I'm saying. And so here we are. Here we are. To ground the conversation, you know I have a good read, right? I want to share a story that speaks right to the heart of this struggle. It's called A Crown of His Own, and it's written by Megan Dowd Lambert. And you already know how I feel about children's books, right? There are adult truths wrapped in imagination. Let's get into this read. The story, A Crow of His Own, it's about a chicken. His name is Clyde. When Larry was called off to new opportunities, Sunrise Farm suddenly found itself without its prize rooster. The animals overslept, and no one knew what to do. Not to worry, soothed Farmer Jay. We have a plan, added Farmer Kevin. Their plan turned out to be a scrawny little guy named Clyde. Well, hello there, neighbors, he stammered. The animals yawned and shuffled their feet. Uh-oh, said the cow. Not much pep in his step, said the horse. He's certainly no Larry, said the sheep. Roberta was nothing if not a motherly goose. And after taking a gander at Clyde, she took him under her wing. Welcome, she chirped. I'm Roberta. Hello, he replied shyly. Don't worry about the others. They just missed Larry, she assured him. Who's Larry? Inquired Clyde. Y'all, there's a big old poster of Larry, the illustrious Larry. The animals gasped. "Only the best rooster ever," said the sheep. "Take it straight from my mouth. He was more than that," said the horse. "He was a genius," said the cow. The animal's words left Clyde in a state of speechless distress. "There, there now, Clyde," Roberta began. "Larry wasn't a genius. He just made quite a show of it." "A show, huh?" Clyde mused. "Thanks, Ruby. You're the best." It's Roberta," she sighed. Clyde spent the whole day gathering props, designing his costume, and choreographing a sublime two-step. He hardly slept a wink that night. Could he do it? Could he live up to Larry's legacy? Could he put on a show of a crow? Alas, he overslept. The sheep says, "Hey, who ever heard of a rooster sleeping in?" The horse says, "What a worthless chicken." And the cow says, "And now I'm late getting the morning cream to the house." "Enough. Give the poor guy a break," says Roberta. After recovering from his initial embarrassment, Clyde hurried past the disapproving hens and rededicated himself to rehearsing. "I'll be on my grade A game tomorrow," he reassured Roberta. As the sun peeked over the hillside the next day, a weary Clyde assumed his position atop the coop, opening his beak and promptly fell to the ground with an undignified croak. "Are you okay?" fussed Roberta. "What was that?" said the sheep. "You call that a crow?" said the cow. "Good grief," said the horse. Clyde was not okay. He was humiliated. He had cricked his comb, his right ring was wrong, and his waddle, well, his waddle was a wobbly wreck. And yet Clyde was determined to get back on the saddle, and so to speak. Oh my," said Farmer Jay. "Try again. Try again," encouraged Farmer Kevin. Try again he would. But adding a dramatic aerial entrance didn't work out so well the next morning. All the animals trudged away, disgruntled and dismayed. Roberta stayed behind with Clyde. "It's taking all my horsepower not to say something foul about that bird," said the horse. "I think my milk is utterly curdled," said the cow. "Let's go count ourselves back to sleep," said the sheep. "Oh, I'll never be a showman like Larry," lamented Clyde. Even though she was a goose, Roberta clucked with pity. "Oh, Clyde," she implored, "forget about Larry. Just crow your own crow." "Crow my own crow, huh?" he snuffled. "What about the show? No lights, no costumes?" "Definitely forget about those," Roberta advised. "Even the mustache," Clyde asked. "Save it for special occasions," she answered. "Would you listen to me practice?" Clyde asked. Roberta said, "I would be honored." And the next morning, Clyde's in place, and he says, "Ahem. Cock-a-doodle-doo!" "Is that Clyde?" said the farmers. The horse says, "It's not so much like crowing, but crooning." And the cow says, "With a little warble at the beginning and a crescendo at the doodle, and oh, that raspy growl in the middle of the two. Enough to give you the goosebumps," exclaimed Roberta. And with that, Clyde took a deep breath, gave a shake of his comb, and called out another crow of his own. "I knew you could do it, Clyde," says Roberta. A crow of his own. I love a good story. And probably the thing that stood out initially to me was the support that Roberta offered Clyde in finding his voice. But Clyde wasn't just finding his voice. He was tuning his voice, tuning his inner voice. Like, her advocacy for him was helping him to listen to his inner voice differently than he had before. The idea of tuning your inner voice is powerful because it acknowledges that your voice already exists. See, when I'm finding my voice, it means that I've lost my voice. But I will contend that it's not that we've lost our voices. It's that our voices have gotten out of tune, like an instrument. They get drowned out or detuned or distorted by the noise of other people's opinions and expectations and comparisons and criticisms. Yeah, that part, right? And so when we talk about tuning your inner voice, what we're talking about is first acknowledging that there's interference, that there's this noise and this distortion that comes from external voices. And sometimes it's the voice of comparison. It says that they do it better than I do. Or it's the voice of performance. Like, if I don't get it perfect, then it doesn't count. Or the voice of rejection that says, I've tried before and they didn't accept me. So why am I going to keep doing this? And then the last one is the approval seeking voice that says, will they like it? Will they like me? Let me tell you something. I am a recovering people pleaser, and I'm just telling you right now that that voice of approval seeking will get you. Oh, and so these voices, they're not just noisy. These voices, they're invasive. Like, they show up when you're trying to show up as your best. They just show up, and over time, we confuse them as our own voices. Ooh, we didn't start out that way. I just want you to know, like, in the book, A Crow of His Own, like, Clyde the Rooster, he doesn't lack a voice. He just hasn't been affirmed in using his voice. And Roberta was on mission. She was on it with him. She was like, listen, you don't have to be like Larry. Like, what about your own voice? And so everyone remembers the old rooster, Larry. And Clyde feels the pressure to sound like him. His comparison keeps him from his contribution. When we compare ourselves, we keep ourselves from the contribution we're supposed to make. Does that sound familiar? We begin our lives as uninhibited beings. Like, when we're children, we sing loud. We dance all kinds of freely, right? It doesn't matter whether or not we're on beat or not. We just happy and dancing, and we draw wildly. We just draw whatever. We ask questions boldly. Like, that kid's always asking, but why? But why? And eventually the adult says, because I said so. But I'm just telling you, as children, there's this freedom, this liberty, and our voice is free. But slowly, through life experiences and subtle corrections and sometimes outright criticisms, we learn to edit ourselves even before we can fully express ourselves. And so this tuning of our inner voice, it isn't about getting louder. It's about getting clarity. Tuning your inner voice means learning to filter feedback. Instead of being formed by the feedback. It's learning to understand the difference between being growth-centered or identity-shaping criticism. And lastly, it's about giving yourself permission to say, that's not my note, that's not my frequency, that's not how I sound. And here's the deal, you don't need to be loud. to be heard. You don't have to be loud to be heard. You just need to be aligned. Oh, what am I aligning with? Okay, before I get to what you're aligning with, can I just geek out a moment on the science behind our inner voices? Like, I did some research because I was like, there's got to be something to this. And indeed, there is. Listen, from a neuroscience perspective, our brains are wired to seek social belonging. I told you this before, we were designed to belong. And so our brains are looking for where we belong, where we fit in. And the, here's a fancy word for a part of your brain, the anterior cingulate cortex. It actually lights up when we experience social rejection. It's the same part of our brain that lights up when we experience physical pain. Oh, yes, y'all, rejection hurts. And our brain doesn't discern the difference between the hurt of physical pain and the hurt of rejection. It just registers it as hurt. Okay. And so our inner voice then becomes quieter when we try to avoid that pain. But here's the good news. Our brains can get rewired. We can change the way our brains function and grow through intentional practice. Yes. It's what it means to learn. As long as you're alive, you can learn. The more we engage in self-affirming internal dialogues, then the more our prefrontal cortex, that's the part of our brain responsible for reasoning and self-awareness, the more it's able to help regulate and keep in check the emotional pain. You can train your brain to tune in more to truth than the noise of other people. So let's just talk for a moment about that voice in your head. Like, we all have one. And some of us, it sounds like words. But for others, it could be pictures or emotions or spatial impressions. And yes, even deaf people have an internal dialogue. I know. The science tells us that everyone has some sort of internal or inner speech or dialogue, and it's deeply connected to our sense of self. Here's what the research says. You ready? When we talk to ourselves, our brain lights up in the same areas it would if we were actually speaking out loud. And that part of our brain is called the Broca's area, and it's responsible for language production. Okay, all right. Inner speech isn't just about talking. It's about identity and planning and decision-making. That's why it's so powerful, what's going on in our heads. And here's the kicker. You ready? Negative thoughts don't just feel louder. They really are louder. Right. And so our emotionally charged thoughts, especially the ones that are fear-based, they activate the amygdala. This is why anxiety and self-doubt are so overwhelming. They hijack the brain's rewiring. Yes. Self-regulation is so important because it helps us keep those big emotions from rewiring our brains into conditions that are not helpful to us. Okay, so what do we do about this, right? Here, I want to give you three simple practices to tune your voice, okay? Three practices to tuning the inner voice. Here's the first one. We always have to identify it, right? We got to name the narrative. When we think about this, when we look at this, we have to pause and ask, what am I saying to myself right now? Like, sometimes I have to say, do you hear how you're talking to yourself right now? Like, are you listening to those words? Like, do you? Like, sometimes I have to say, you know, like you're talking to a friend of yours, you know, like, why are you talking to yourself like that? Like, in all reality, I would not let someone else talk to me the way I talk to myself. I would not let someone else sometimes talk to someone else that I loved the way I talk to myself. And so I have to name the narrative. The second thing I got to do, though, is I got to reframe it with compassion. And so I got to start taking the harsh and fearful thoughts and replacing them with truth. Like, I have to go from I'm failing to, I'm learning something from this. See, and it's the discomfort of those moments that cause us to have the negative thoughts, but we have to reframe them with compassion. I need for you to have compassion for yourself. And so I understand and I name it, and then I reframe it with compassion. And here's the third thing I do. I speak with truth out loud. I speak truth out loud. I speak truth out loud. You just heard me talk about the research and how when we speak out loud, the power it has over our brains. And so it may feel awkward at first, but saying something good about yourself out loud is important. Like, you know, you're smarter than you believe sometimes. Like, you're all right. Hey, that outfit, you look all right today. See, sound matters. What you speak, you reinforce. Oh, let me say it another way. What you rehearse, you begin to believe. Yep. What you rehearse, you begin to believe. And so you have to have some mantras, some inner dialogue that happens that allows you to say to yourself truth and replace the negative internal thoughts. Okay. All right. In my book, this one right here, this one, Developing a Durable Mind. I'm telling you right now, in this book, I have a chapter two, that dives into this whole concept of rewriting the narrative. The chapter is called The Stories We Tell Ourselves. And after this chapter, there is a lab. I call it a durability lab. And it has exercises that invite you to identify the unhelpful internal stories that you have believed. Like, I'm not good enough, or I always mess things up. And it invites you to rewrite them. I'm telling you, this is a great tool for you to have. I'm just inviting you, not just because it's my book, but because it's my book. I wrote it intentionally to help us with the dialogues and the conversations that we've been having about what is happening inside of us. And see, it makes me ask you this question. What story have I been telling myself that is no longer serving the person I'm becoming? Like, is the story you're telling yourself serving the person you're becoming? You might want to take a moment. Maybe you take it after this episode. Maybe you hit the pause button right now and you just write it down. Like, what's that old story? And then ask yourself, what's a more life-giving narrative I can tell myself instead? Like, this is about telling yourself the truth over toxicity. That's what this is about. And so you're not just a listener to your inner voice. You are the author. So what story will you tell yourself next? Huh? Okay, so we've spent some time in this episode exploring what it means to tune your inner voice, to reclaim it from the noise of comparison and rejection and performance and approval. And we've acknowledged how easy it is for that voice to get distorted by the opinions of others. But we've also stressed the importance of how deeply we need to hear ourselves again. See, tuning your voice is part of the process of transformation. As you learn to tune, it will change the way you live. Yes, Myron Gordon, in one of his reels recently, stated that transformation involves four things. It involves an awareness, it involves intention, decision, and discipline. Awareness, intention, decision, discipline. I need an awareness. We've already talked about becoming more aware of what those internal dialogues are. I have to set an intention. That's what speaking aloud about, that positive thing, right? I have to make a decision about how I'm going to direct the traffic of my head and my heart. And then I have to be disciplined to practice what I know is best for me, even when I don't feel like it. Like, I don't just get to hit cruise control and let things just happen. No, no, no. I have to have awareness, intention, decision, discipline, right? Things get better through the practice that comes from discipline. So let me leave you with this. You don't have to find your voice because you already have a voice. And the work is to tune it, to tune it so that what you hear aligns with who you are. And your voice doesn't need to sound like someone else's in order for it to be valuable. I need you to learn to value your voice. It just needs to be true. It doesn't need to be like someone else. It just needs to be true. And that truth will require you to start listening past the noise of other people's opinions and old labels and the other stuff. And listen, I just want to encourage you that you were made to speak from your full, authentic self. And you don't have to shout. You just have to be in tune. I feel like we just need a continued conversation about it, but here we are, right? I got to wrap this conversation up. I thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Dante Poole. This is the Life Sculptors Podcast. I want you to like, subscribe. If something I've shared in here and said in here is helpful to someone else, please share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. Buy the book. Buy the book, Developing a Durable Mind. And remember this, you're exactly enough.